إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we were talking about the ayat of Surah Al-Hadid, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the reality of our lives and told us how our lives seem to be spent only and only in serving our nufus and serving our desires, base desires, and nothing else to show for it, and as a result of which we are likely to find ourselves in serious problems with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we meet Him. Not to mention the fact that we will be in difficulties in this dunya itself. And all of this racing and all of this competition is negative, and all this negative competition only leads to one thing, which is loss for ourselves in this dunya as well as in the akhirah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, told us to compete. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in the next ayah 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا أرضها كأرض السماء والأرض أعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسله ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, now race to the forgiveness from your Rabb and to a garden the width and the extent of which is like the extent of the heaven and the earth. It is prepared for those who believe in Allah and His messengers, and that is the grace of Allah, and He gives it to whom He pleases. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of mighty grace, Fadlul Azim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. My brothers and sisters, so therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there is a place to compete. And that place is in the is for the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we see this reflected in the lives of the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Most famous of which is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the rivalry to please Allah between Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Many instances of this. But take for example one of the most famous ones, which is when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for contributions for the Ghazwa to Tabuk. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, many people brought things. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I give half my wealth. Whatever I have, half of that I give to you for this Ghazwa. And then Abu Bakr Siddiq came, and he came with only a bundle, which he put on top of the pile. And he came dressed in a jute sack, which he had draped over his head. He made a hole in the middle of it, and he was wearing it like a poncho, with thorns to secure the sides. And Rasulullah asked him, Ya Abu Bakr, what have you left for your family? And he said, Allah and His Nabi are sufficient for my family. Now, of course, there's a beautiful hadith and a lot of detail in that. I'm not going into that. All I'm saying is that here is a case where Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is doing more than anybody else because he wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The others also want to please Allah, but people, they take sabqat. They are racing with each other in doing that. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa for 2 years. During this Khilafat, a salary was fixed for him by the community. But when he died, before he died, he gave the paper, the deed for a piece of land that he owned. He gave it to his daughter Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha and said, give it to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu after I have passed away and say that I am giving this for the Baytul Mal. Take this land and take it for the community. And he said, the value of this land is more than the salary that I have drawn from the community in 2 years. Now the salary that he drew was given to him by the community. He was not demanding it. It was given to him by the community so that he could devote his full time to the work of being the leader of the community, of being the Khalifa. Otherwise he was a trader. So they said, no, don't spend your time in trading. We will pay you. And it was a bare minimum salary. The bare minimum salary they gave him. And he said, use this. But even that he returned. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu held his head. And he said to Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, your father has made it very difficult for us to follow him. Now, these are examples of people racing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, racing with each other to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many examples of this from the Seerah and the Sunnah, many examples of this from the people from the Salaf al-Salihin of what they did and how they raced with each other to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the purpose of all of this is for us to think and say, what is it that I am doing to race to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Please understand The Sahaba did this because for them the Akhirah was a reality. Now let me ask you a simple question. We know that praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid is important, right? We also know that going to work on time is important. How important is reflected by the importance that we give to each of these activities. Tell me, how many of us do not pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid? And may Allah forgive us, sometimes we don't even pray Salatul Fajr at all, which is a different issue. But the point is, how many of us miss Salatul Fajr praying in the masjid because we have spent time the previous night in parties, sitting around with friends and so on? I'm not saying doing haram. Maybe you were just doing, you know, good stuff, just hanging out with your friend and so on, or on Facebook or whatever. We had a late night because of which we missed Fajr. But how many of us have a late night because of which you miss going to work? I bet the number of people, I'm not saying nobody does it, maybe there are those who do, but the number of people who actually miss work because they had a late night the previous night is far, far, far less than the number of people who miss Salatul Fajr in the masjid because they had a late night the previous night. What does it tell us? It tells us that may Allah forgive us, but we have become munafiqeen. We are people who say something and do something else. We say that akhirat is important for us, but we give akhirat the second place. We say dunya is not important for us, but we give dunya the first place. I'm not saying miss your work. I'm saying treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at least as important as your work. It's an absolute shame why I need to say something like this. May Allah forgive us for doing this. I remind myself and you, let us not treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if he has no importance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a rule and says, start your day with Salatul Fajr in the masjid and this will put barakah in your whole day. It shows the level to which we believe this when we don't do that. If we really believe this, then how come we miss that? We miss that because for us, the reality is that the Akhirah is not important. If the Akhirah was important, then why are we not in the masjid for Salatul Fajr? We are not in the masjid for Salatul Fajr because we give importance to other things. So this is where the question of saying, take sabqat, a race with each other in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Race with each other towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us to His forgiveness. Allah is saying, come running, race with each other towards forgiveness. Allah did not say race with each other in accumulating money. Allah did not say race with each other in searching for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, search for the fadl of Allah, which means it is there, just go search for it. He didn't say race with each other. He didn't say compete. As a matter of fact, He said, Allahakum muttakasur. He said, this racing for the dunya will destroy you. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you reach your qubur, until you make the ziyarah, you see your qabr, this will not stop and this will destroy you. Why on earth do we say that we believe in the Quran and then we ignore the Quran? Why on earth do we say that we believe in the Akhirah and we ignore the Akhirah? Please, my brothers and sisters, I remind you of myself, let us stop living this dichotomous life of saying something and doing something else. It doesn't work. It is a lie. If Allah does not forgive us, if Allah holds us accountable, this is exactly what the munafiqeen did. I'm not saying you and I are munafiq, inshallah we are not. But at the same time, we have to stop behaving like that. This is what the munafiqeen did. They said they believed something and they did something else. وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are people who say that they believe in Allah and on the last day, but they are not mu'mineen. Do we want this to apply to us? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We don't. So therefore, let us make sure that we say, we put our mouth where, we put our lives and we put our money and we put our effort where our mouth is. If we say that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, if we say that we believe in the day of judgment, if we say that we believe in meeting with Allah, then let us act like that. Let us race with each other, compete with each other in trying to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spend thousands and thousands of dollars on our holidays. How much money do you spend in charity? We spend thousands and thousands of dollars on all kinds of things in this dunya. Things which are not even important. I'm not saying don't go on a holiday. By all means, please do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you beautiful holidays where you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, don't tell me and don't try to equate that with charity, with feeding people, with helping people out of their difficulties. These are not equal. These are not equal, as simple as that. So if you are going to do these things, alhamdulillah, do them. But make sure that there is a backup for you when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He asks you, what did you do with the wealth that I gave you? You say, Ya Allah, I used it, alhamdulillah, in enjoying myself. But I also used interested in alleviating the suffering and so on of people, and what I spend for that is more than what I spend on my own enjoyment, inshallah this will be beneficial for you. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and to save us from that which does not please Him. And seriously, let us look at these ayat and let us look at our lives and correct and change ourselves before we come to the point where there is a point of no return. After that, there is no change. After that, there is no tawbah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that fate. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.